Hi there. My name is Ilaria, and thank you for stopping by the About Us episode of the Homesteading Roller Coaster podcast. As I was growing up in Italy, in the town of Bologna, I was dreaming of having lots of animals, especially dairy goats. But I lived in an apartment, so all I had was a cat named Daisy. Fast track a few decades, and I now live with my partner Damien and our two young daughters on our 30-acre property, Tatton Hills Farm, near Canberra, Australia. What a change. We moved here in 2011 and we just wanted to have a bit more space, but because we're crazy animal people, we soon acquired a whole variety of critters, including dairy goats. So my childhood dream did come true in the end. We also have llamas, ducks, chickens, peacocks, lots of different things. We are very lucky. We get our own eggs most of the time and we get milk. So we started learning loads of different homesteading skills. We learned to make cheese and bread and soap. We started planting veggies, and my partner, he's very keen on revegetation, so he started really improving our land by controlling weeds, mostly by hand without using chemicals, planting natives, planting hundreds of fruit trees. And we're trying to grow more and more veggies. We're always trying to improve our garden. And in our long quest for a more sustainable life, I've also taken up sewing. And I try to focus mostly on recycled fabrics and repurposing and refashioning old clothes. Along the way, I have found a passion for sharing our new skills with the community. I am a science communicator by trade, so it seemed like a logical progression to start sharing what we learned with the public. And now we run workshops and school tours and family tours. In this podcast, we'll look forward to sharing with you what we're doing. Hopefully you'll find something interesting and useful for you. You can learn from what we've done right and from what we've done wrong. And most importantly, I hope you'll just get a laugh out of our crazy adventures. And that's it for another episode of the Homesteading Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed the content, we'd love it if you subscribed. We'd also really appreciate a rating and review on your podcast platform. Or send us a message. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tatton Hills Farm. That's T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm. Or on our website at www.tatumhillsfarm.com.au. Thank you for listening. Bye. I'll be honest, I'm kind of freaking out today. So tomorrow is shearing day for our llamas. And we've had llamas for over 9 years now, because we had them straight away within 3 weeks of us arriving on our property. They got delivered. We had already bought them before we even moved to the property. So we've had them for a long time and we feel like we're pretty well versed in the general keeping of llamas, but we have to this point chosen not to shear them. So tomorrow is shearing day and today we're getting ready for the big event. We are just moving some pens around to make sure that they can all be safely contained while we wait for the shearer. And we've gathered all of our halters because some of them are used to being halters, some of them were halter trained when they were younger, but they haven't been halter for years. But tomorrow we're going to see if we can halter them all, and that way they'll be easier and quicker to move around. So we got all of that organized. I am currently boiling some needles. I have some reusable livestock needles that I use for their vaccines. So while they're there being shorn and held together, I'm going to take advantage of that and vaccinate them as well for the yearly vaccine. And we're going to cut their nails, do everything while they're there. So then we're done for another year at least. So that's a big thing for us tomorrow. I'll let you know after the day how it's gone, or during. We'll see how we go. But while we wait, I just wanted to share what we have learned in 9 years of llama ownership. Llamas, if you haven't, are not really familiar with them, are a part of the camelid family. So the other common animals that belong to the same family are the camels, of course, and the alpacas, which are becoming increasingly a popular livestock for our hobby farmers. Now, we chose llamas over alpacas, mostly because they're usually a little bit nicer and more personable. Just like with humans, there are nice alpacas and not so nice llamas. But in general, llamas from the Incas time, from South America where they come from, were bred to be pack animals. So they had to work in close association with humans. And so they had to be reasonably friendly and able to put up with close proximity with humans. Whereas the alpacas were more bred for fleece. So nobody really cared if they were friendly or not. They just got brought in once a year to be shorn and then released back into the paddock, and that was about it. So the llamas are a little bit friendlier. Now, all camelids are not quite as friendly as, for example, our goats. Our goats are super friendly. They really sort of want to be with us, whereas the llamas will come and say hello and greet us. But some of them enjoy a little pat, but the majority of them kind of will come near you, but they won't really love a cuddle as such. They will put up with it, especially if you've handled them a lot from birth, which we have with a lot of them. But they don't seem to really love it as much as the goats do. I think a part of it comes from the way they behave with each other. So a llama mum will actually never lick her baby. She will shelter them. She will obviously feed them and look after them and be very caring, but always in a non-contact way. And even the famous spitting that you might know about llamas and alpacas, it's a way they have to communicate with each other without really having any contact. So really the only time they have any contact with each other is really the mating time. And they can breed at any time. They don't really have a breeding season. Llama females are induced ovulators. So there is something in the llama sperm that makes the girl ovulate. So this is really handy if you're breeding them, because you can choose to breed them whenever you want, and they will breed at whatever time you put them together. Of course, the downside of that is that if you have both entire males and females on your property and they get together at the wrong time, again, they will breed at any time. So you've got to be a little bit careful there. But usually, they're pretty calm, placid animals and pretty easy to manage. And that's actually why we chose them as our very first livestock. When we moved to our property, we were new to everything country. And so we chose llamas because we had met some, we'd fallen in love with them. They're very placid and calm animals. And they also very easy on fences, unlike the goats. And so even though goats were always sort of in the back of my mind, we knew that our property really wasn't ready for them. And as it came to be, even when we did get goats, our property still wasn't really ready for them. But certainly llamas, and probably alpacas as well, though we don't have any direct experience with them, they make a lovely first livestock, a sort of beginner livestock. They're very hardy animals. They don't need an awful lot of husbandry. And like I said, they're very easy to contain and they don't require a lot of infrastructure. They tend to be pretty claustrophobic, so they don't really like a barn or a pen, though they can get used to it. So in our climate, which does get cold and does get below 0 degrees Celsius in winter, but not too severely. So where we are near Canberra in Ngunnawal country, we kind of range between probably about -8 in the winter to
peaks of maybe 45 as a very top, a plus 45 Celsius in the summer, and that's quite rare. So that's quite a big range, but especially the cold is not extreme. They seem to not care because they have a huge coverage of fleece. We have lots of trees that they can go for shelter if it's either raining or if it's too cold or too hot. In winter, like I said, they don't seem to care. You'll go out in the morning and find them with frost on their backs, and they probably don't even know they have it because they have such a big coverage of fleece. And in summer, up until recently, we didn't really find them to be suffering too much. I mean, of course, if it is 45 degrees, everybody is suffering. We're all hot. But usually, those kind of peaks only last for a day or two, and it will still go around down to around 20 or below overnight. So you do get some respite. Now, we do have some dams, so some bodies of water, however small. A lot of people report that the llamas and alpacas actually wading into water to cool off. We've never seen ours do that, which probably means they're not really all that hot. They will, however, sit. We've got concrete watering troughs, so they do kind of sit next to them a little bit because obviously that's a bit of a cooler spot. But we have found that they just sort of seek the shade when they need to, go in the sun when they want to, and they seem to be coping just fine. The reason why we've chosen to this day not to shear them was that, first of all, our really hot season is not very long for us. So it's starting to get hot now in November, and by March, it will be pretty cold again. By in mid to end of March, we could potentially already start to see the first frost. Definitely in April, we will. So that's not a huge amount of time for them to regrow their fleece before it gets cold again. So that's always been a concern of mine. The other concern is that sometimes we do still get cold spells, especially at night at this time of the year. So this is quite late for shearing. Most people would have shorn in October, but our neighbors will be shearing their alpacas at the same time tomorrow. We've all chosen to do it at this time of the year because we're a little bit more certain that the weather will stay warm. But like I said, well, you can potentially get a cold spell, and in that case, they can get really cold. So then you need to rug them. Some of them will take a rug. You can just use pony rugs. Some of them will take them, some of them won't be so agreeable. And so that's sort of another concern. And we found that they didn't seem to be too worried. They do get matted. And so normally what we would do about once a year, I would grab the ones that we have that have the longest fleece, and I would just hit them with a pair of scissors and just cut the dreadlocks off. And as I go, I try to feel under the fleece, make sure they don't have any humongous twigs or anything trapped in the fleece where I can't see it that might be hurting them. And we always monitor them, you know, if they're scratching a lot, they might have something wrong with their skin underneath. But they certainly have seemed to be pretty contented as it was. In fact, some of the ones we have are 7 years old and they've never been shorn, so they're in for a bit of a shock. Three of the ones we have are very senior and we bought them as adults already, so they would have been shorn at their previous place, but they certainly haven't been shorn for 9 years since we've had them here. Not properly, at least. They've just had a bit of a dreadlock control. So we'll see how we go tomorrow. The reason why we've chosen to do it this year is, first of all, because last year we had really record high temperatures, like I said, 45 degrees for several days in a row. So I felt that having them still full of fleece was a little bit too much. Also, this year, we've just come out of a big drought and we've had quite a bit of rain, which has been fantastic. But of course, the downside from that is that we're expecting quite an explosion of parasites. So, fleas and mites and lice and all of that. And we've already seen a little bit of that. We luckily haven't seen any mites in for the chickens yet, but we know the wild population of wombats, who are one of the marsupials that hangs around here, they are always carrying some mites that produce a horrible disease called mange, and domestic animals can contract that as well. And one of our goats has had a mild form of that, and then she's had some lice. We've now been able to put a bit of a patch on that problem, but she's still is, so she doesn't seem to care, doesn't seem to bother her, but she does still have a bit of a burden of bugs in spite of our best efforts. So I figured if we were going to shear them, this year would be a good year because they're likely to be attacked by parasites due to the weather. So we've decided to do a plus. I just felt, you know, it's been so long, I think they're probably due. So we booked a shearer in. He'll come. He's very well regarded and very experienced. So hopefully it'll all go well. And they'll be much skinnier and much more naked come tomorrow night. And I'll post pictures up on social media for you guys to have a look. You can find us at Tatum Hills Farm, T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm, both on Facebook and Instagram. And you can have a bit of a laugh. So that's what's happening tomorrow. Aside from this, we found llamas to be really a lovely addition to the farm. They're a nice wow factor to everybody who comes. Remember, we run tours as well and parties, so that kind of helps to have that kind of animal. They're obviously really good at keeping our grass down. They're browsers, so as well as the grass, will also prune your bushes, which may or may not be a good thing, but they're not severe browsers like the goats. So the goats will always eat all your bushes before they even look at the grass, whereas the llamas will eat quite a fair amount of grass. So they've been really great, together with the huge population of wild kangaroos that we have, at keeping the grass down at the moment that is quite lush. So they're doing that. Llamas also have a number of eco-friendly features that we thought were really interesting when we got them. So first of all, they have soft padded feet. They don't have hooves. So their feet have got two toes with nails, each one nail each, and they have a soft pad underneath, which makes them very gentle as they walk around on the ground. They don't compact the ground like a horse or a cow would, so that's really helpful. And also the way their mouth works, they tend to just mow the grass for you as opposed to ripping it off. And they're quite comprehensive. They eat the majority of the grasses, so they won't just select too hard for one type of grass in comparison to another. And they also love things like blackberry and other weeds that we have, which is always helpful in weed control. So those were reasons why we were attracted to llamas. And of course, another amazing thing that they do, they poo and wee in poo piles. So they will select an area in their paddock and they will go there and they'll poo and wee there. And that makes it so easy to then collect that manure and put it on your garden. And their manure is the perfect complete fertilizer. So you don't actually need to compost it first in order for it to go in your garden. You can put it straight in your garden. And my partner Damien has been using it to plant most of our trees and he's had great success with that. Other things that they need their nails trimmed. So the nails will grow forward, and then if you leave them, they will go sideways. Now, the good news is because they're walking on the pads of their feet, which are fleshy bits, not on their nails, long nails don't really cripple them. So if you happen to not be able to catch one animal, or you just get busy and you don't get to give them the pedicures they need, they don't get crippled like a horse would, for example. But it is a good idea to keep them trimmed. So usually every 6 months to a year, we tend to trim their nails. Now, if we're going to start shearing them, that'll get done then, and they can probably go a whole year without it. You can use hoof trimmers, I think they're called. We just found secateurs from the garden work just fine. And we have found a method where we don't even lift their feet, and that keeps them a lot calmer. We just put them in a small pen, and then with our secateurs, we just go parallel to the ground and just trim the tip of their nails, and that seems to work quite well. When there's grass, like at the moment, they don't really need to be fed much, but we have fed them a lot. They normally prefer loosen unlike horses and ponies, they can go on Lucerne full time. In fact, they won't really look at anything else, our llamas. You can give them a little bit of grain and a little bit of pelletized horse feed, but that tends to be a bit on the rich side, so it should really just be a treat. We just have them on Lucerne hay occasionally or as needed. You know, sometimes we have to feed them twice a day when there's nothing there. And also we use Lucerne chaff, and we use that for the kids who visit our tours to feed them. Now, because the llamas are so non-contact, they're really safe around children. They will not trample them, they will not hit them or anything. They'll go out of their way to stay away from the kids or to at least not have contact with them. So we calmly put the children in the paddock with the llamas with the bowls of food, and the llamas very calmly come and eat out of the bowls, and it's all very civilized. We would never put a bunch of kids in the paddock with our goats because they just get overexcited and things would certainly go wrong. So that's about all you need. We do, like I said, vaccinate them most years. We are very particular about vaccinating all of our animals when they're young. They all usually get a vaccine and a booster and then another vaccine the following year. But then after that, we don't do it necessarily every single year. We probably now haven't done it for a couple of years, and that's just because of our local conditions and what other livestock is around us. We don't feel that they need it quite as much, but that's definitely a personal choice, so you should investigate your own conditions and circumstances to make that call. Certainly this year, because we'll have them on the shearing table, I'm definitely going to vaccinate them. And we use in Australia, it's a 5-in-1 vaccine. It's called UltraVac. I'm sure every area has got different things, but it's got things like tetanus and enterotoxemia and other issues and other possible problems that they can get. So that's all. And in terms of fences, really, they're like the nicest animal. You can put one string and that will contain them. They can jump or go through fences if they really have to or if they're scared, but usually they don't bother, which, like I said, it makes them for a very easy animal to keep. The handling, because they're so big, they're much bigger than the alpacas. They reach about 150 kilos and they can be easily 2 meters tall, the big boys. The handling can be a little bit cumbersome. So definitely if you're purchasing adult llamas, make sure they've been handled from birth. And if you have your own babies, make sure you handle them from birth. Make sure you put the halters on so that they get used to them. And I'm hoping that all the work I've done with these guys when they were younger is going to pay off tomorrow. So even though they haven't had their halters on, some of them get it almost every week when the tours come, but some of them don't. So I'm hoping that they'll still be easier to halter than, I guess, one that has never been halter. We shall see. So I will now go and finish setting up for tomorrow, and I'll meet you back here after the fact to report back how things went.